This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of the 99 Names. I am your host, Bilal Khan, and I have here with us Ammar al-Shukri.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How y'all doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How's everybody else doing?
Awesome. Alhamdulillah.
So, this episode,
we are doing the beautiful name of Allah, Al-Wadud.
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 Okay.
Wadud. So Wadud comes from the word wood. Wood. Tree wood. Exactly. Wadud comes from wood, which means love.
Okay.
Wood means love.
I thought hub means love.
Your hub, but that didn't work. There are lots and lots of words for love in the Arabic language.
Okay.
They all have different...
You know,
meanings.
A professor of mine said that you can see, you can get an idea of the society based on the language in terms of what they valued, or what they're familiar with based on how many different words they have for a particular
thing. So the Arabs have that phrase exactly, and I actually teach it in my class because the concept is the more name something has, it indicates the greatness of that thing in that society.
Right.
And so we then ask the question, what in American society has a lot of names?
Snow.
No.
You have a lot of different descriptions to describe snow.
Like what?
You have snow, you have powdered snow, you have flakes, you have icicles, you have like the idea and the environment of snow. However, in Arabic, how many words do you have that describes the different facets and the different descriptions of snow?
Probably just one. And that word means ice, and it means like a lot of these different things. You're right. That's okay. I see what you're saying. But we always come back to the name that has the most.
Okay.
And that is money.
Money. All right. We got cash. We can go on and on. Yeah.
There's just so many different names for money, and everybody just starts, you know, and right, I'm home, you can comment with names for money that you
know. What are all the names for money that
what
you
are
guys
all the names
use?
For money? Because there's just so many, and it's just very natural. It's not like we, you know, Webster tried to, you know, teach all of these names for money.
Right.
It's just culturally people just, and that shows you how important it is in society.
Right.
Another is alcohol.
Right.
And the Arabs had that too.
Okay.
Another is marijuana.
Mm.
Lots of different names for that, just from
nickels and dimes and
you know,
and 20s.
Purple haze and sticky icky. I don't know what that was.
Not this.
Okay, that's a dab. I don't know. Why, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, the whole HTC thing.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's new to me. So okay. This, I'm sorry if you thought you were going to listen to a religious lecture. We just completely went off as we normally do. I mean, this is not.
Well, could they see this?
Can you stop doing that? What were we saying? So we were talking about the more names something has is indicative of the greatness of that thing.
I mean, so, it's even like not even names, but gestures, right? Like you don't even have to say it.
Yeah, exactly. Mullah. It's got its own sign language that everybody understands. Yeah. So the Arabs had a lot of names for love.
Mm.
They had over 300 names for the lion.
Oh, wow.
They had many names for the sword
because
they were people who warred. And they had many names for alcohol.
Mm.
And the idea is consistent, or Islam carried over that concept, of course.
Yeah.
So the Day of Judgment has incredible amount of names because it's the greatest day.
And this is one of the reasons why Allah has given himself so many names.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many names,
okay.
An unknown number of names.
Okay.
So Al-Malik, we're doing now Al-Wadud.
But even Rasulullah has so many descriptions.
The Prophet Sallallahu has many names. He says, my name is Muhammad and Ahmad and Mahi and Al-Hashir and Al-Aqib and... There are others as well.
Okay.
So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had many names because he's the greatest as well. So the concept is true in, I'm sure, other cultures as well. The more important it is, the more names it gets.
Okay.
Wud means love. Al-Wadud is the one who loves and the facilitator of love. What's beautiful about that, let's just stop. When we talk about the names of Allah, one of the goals is for people to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Now when... If you were to just go outside.
So Allah himself is love.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, yes.
Oh, he loves.
He loves. Now, if a person were to simply just go out and interview 1,000 Muslims.
Yeah.
how many of them would think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving? That's the image that comes off, off the bat. Most people, I would argue, do not think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a loving God if they do not know who He is.
Okay.
Because of their experience, because they learn about the rituals before they learn about the spirit, because they feel overburdened, because Muslims who are practicing are very judgmental and they themselves are not loving. And so they think that they are a reflection of the God that they worshipped, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wadud. Not only is Allah Al-Wadud, the name Al-Wadud appears, I believe, twice in the Quran. And the first, where it comes in the Alif Lam form, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ.
Okay.
Allah says He is where the is forgiving Al-Wadud. That is a great question. Let me look up where it is. Oh, it's in Surah Al-Buruj, of course.
Okay.
It's in Surah Al-Buruj.
That's the story about when the Yemeni king and the boy and the king and him committing genocide of the people because they believed.
Yes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. The point here is Allah pairs these two names. And one of the things that you have to pay attention to when you're reading the Quran is why are some names paired together? Like what's the... Because every two names that are paired together gives birth to, you know, an additional layer. It gives you more access and more insight. And so when you look at these two names, Al-Ghafoor, the all-forgiving, and Al-Wadud, the loving, what is the lesson that we're learning here from the pairing of these two names together? And the lesson is it shows you the difference between Allah's love and human love. Because humans can be hurt by those who they love to a level where that love cannot come back again.
Okay.
Right? You're hurt by someone so much that you say to them, even if I can learn to forgive you, things are never going to be the same again.
Right.
And that's that. And that can happen from very forgiving people. You know, Umar ibn Khattab, a man came to him and Umar asked him, he said to him, I ask you by Allah, did you kill my brother Zayd? Because Zayd was killed in the battles against Musaylama. And so when...
You talk about Zayd
ibn al-Khattab, his older brother. So when Zayd... And Zayd was, you know, so close to...
This is in the Ridda Wars.
Yes. Okay. The campaign against Musaylama al-Kadhab.
Okay.
Musaylama had declared himself to be a false prophet. He had his people with him. And, you know, the battles of Wa Muhammada, the Sahaba came, led by Khalid ibn al-Walid, and Zayd ibn al-Khattab was killed there.
Okay.
And so these people accepted Islam, and they ended up, you know, Umar ended up meeting him. So he asked him, he said, did you kill my brother Zayd?
Yeah.
And he said, yes, I did.
In battle.
Yeah, in battle. And then Umar said to him, well then, keep your face away from me, because I will not love you as long as the earth does not love blood. Like, we're never going to mix, like oil and water.
Okay.
And so the man said to him, is your lack of love for me going to withhold me any of my rights?
Mm.
Umar said, no. He said, what do I care about your love then? He said, what do I care about your love then? إِنَّمَا يَبْكِي عَلَى الْحُبِّ النِّسَاءِ. He said, the only people who cry over lost love is women. I don't care. That doesn't bother me, as long as I get my rights. But the point here is that Umar, radiallahu anhu, as great as he is, he's not... I mean, that's an injury that just can't be healed. He's saying to him, that's not going to happen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says though, that he is not only is he the all-forgiving, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadud. He will love you
even
after
that
you commit a sin, no matter how great that sin
is. It's fair to say the greatest sin that somebody can commit is shirk.
Of course.
And even then, as long as somebody's alive and they repent and make tawbah from that,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them.
Okay.
That's incredibly amazing and powerful.
I mean, I'm just trying to think about what would be the human equivalent of that.
None.
No, I'm saying the human equivalent of the idea of committing shirk, right? Like somebody, like your parents raised you or whatever, and you completely disown them, consider somebody else your parents for whatever reason.
Okay.
And then you come back to your parents. Would it be the same? It would. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, the human equivalent, I think the many human equivalents are just, you know, incredible harm that people incur on each other.
Abusive. Parents, family members.
So many different things.
Right. Okay.
In Umar's case, it was the murder of his brother.
Right. Would it be fair to
even
say...
Even with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
With Wahshi.
That concept, right?
Just, yeah.
I understand. I accept your Islam, but...
Yeah. But just don't bother me.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. That's very interesting. Okay.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. Now, what are some things to take away from that? Number one is to seek out Allah's love.
Seek it out. Okay.
How do you seek out Allah's love? Two quick ways that we'll talk about. Number one is in Surah Ali Imran. Allah gives what Ibn Kathir called the verse of the test. The verse of the test basically means this is a test for anyone who claims that they love Allah.
Okay.
Because everybody, if you were to ask anybody, do you love God? They don't have to be Muslim.
Yeah.
They'll, you know, if they're religious,
yeah,
whatever, they'll say, yeah, I love God.
Yeah.
Okay. Allah says, قل, say, O Muhammad, إن كنتم تحبون الله, if you love Allah, then follow me. Mm. Allah will love you.
Follow the Messenger, sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Follow Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the more willing you are to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indicative of how much you truly love Allah. Because the greater your love for something, the more willing you are to sacrifice for it.
Okay. Sacrifice.
You are willing to subdue and submit. You know, people like me and you, you know, we're athletes. We know these things. You know, like the more you have to diet and sacrifice and work hard and struggle and... At the end of the day, the reason why we do it is because we love what we do. I'm laughing because Bilal knows that I don't do any of that stuff. I don't diet or do anything. In fact, I fight him the entire way through.
That's just like, wait, what?
I fight him the entire way through. But the idea here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges those who declare that they love Rasulullah, okay, that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This verse in Ali Imran, where is it?
Where is this verse? I don't know the verse number,
okay,
but we'll put it up, inshallah, and we'll put it up on the screen.
Actually,
for everybody.
Let's leave it to the audience.
Okay, exactly.
Why don't you guys go ahead and
say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you.
Would it be in the beginning, middle, and kind of?
It's in the beginning.
It's in the beginning, okay. How does it go?
قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ
قُلْ إِن
قل إن كنتم
قل إن كنتم تحبون الله
فاتبعوني يحببكم الله
فاتبعوني
then follow me يحببكم الله
يحببكم الله
yes
now this one thing that I'm wondering about still rolling around my head, what's the difference
between ود and حب?
Well, okay, sure, we can add that.
No, I don't know what that difference is. I know that there are levels, and Ibn al-Qayyim, he wrote out like all of the different levels of love.
Okay.
Because of them is ishq, and ishq is like a passionate.
Yeah, I was going towards that direction. The idea of passionate love, attraction love, and
romantic love.
Yeah, romantic love versus what do you call this love?
What do you call this love?
Yeah. Like one way that I can understand it is like brotherly love. Humanity love, I suppose, right?
Between Allah and his slaves?
Or just even like I'm trying to understand it, because many times when you say love, the first thing that comes to mind is romantic love.
Yeah, it's definitely not, right? Romantic love.
Or passionate love. But at the same time, when it comes to, if it's not that, then it's like familial love. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
I think that's more along the lines. It's definitely not a romantic love, but it's a, you think of the love of a mother to her child. You think of the love that people have for each other.
Okay.
The love that people have.
So the kind of love where somebody would be willing to live and die for them. Care for them. Support them.
Yeah. And in fact,
stand up for them.
This brings us to a really beautiful concept.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, was asked by one of his students once. He said, if I love my brother for the sake of Allah, should I tell him?
Mm.
And he said to him, yes, you should. But love has a price, and most people are not willing to pay its price.
Okay.
And then he said, does anybody know what the price of loving for the sake of Allah is? And then, you know, his students are all raising their hands, and they're giving answers left and right. And he says, no, 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 no. Finally, one student says, the price, Sheikh, is wal asr. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. By time, rarely mankind is in a loss except those who believe and do righteous deeds and enjoin each other to truth and enjoin each other to patience. And he said, that's the answer.
Mm.
And to explain that, the person who truly loves will be willing to enjoin you to truth and patience. They will be constant in their advising you to follow the truth.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like your own shadow.
So somebody's willing to be like, to not only support them, but also to tell them when they're wrong.
To tell them what they're wrong. Why? because the person who is sincere will be willing to do that, knowing that in telling you what you may not want to hear, it may distance you. Mm. But they're willing to pay that price.
The risk of potentially losing a friend.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or distancing themselves or angering them or hurting them or all of that type of stuff. But you're doing that because you know the truth is actually better for them. And so those who love you are more willing to actually pay that price, to enjoin them to truth and to enjoin them to patience. And that's why the people who come to most people's minds when you describe that description to them in their own lives is their parents.
Mm.
Because they're the ones whose love is the most sincere. Your friend in college is saying to you, hey, man, I'm thinking about, you know, just really following my dreams and getting a major that is
basket weaving.
Basket weaving. And you're like, man, just follow your heart, bro. It's all good. You know? And if that was your own brother who said that to you,
yeah,
right? You'd be like, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so there's that lack of sincerity and lack of willing to actually give that person the truth.
Mm.
Right? Because there, in reality, there's a lack of love. And that's why he says most people aren't willing to pay the price of love. And so that's one of the ways that we share love amongst each other, is to enjoin each other to the truth and enjoin each other to patience. The second thing with regards to when we said seeking the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first is following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the second is to increase in our increase in our voluntary acts of worship. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the Hadith Qudsi, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my slave does not come near to me except with anything that he's obligated on me. And then he'll continue to come near to me with that which I have made voluntary until I love them. And so if I love them, I become the seeing with which they see and the hearing with which they hear and the arms with which they strike and the feet with which they walk. And so a person will continue to do voluntary actions. And the interesting thing about voluntary actions is that voluntary acts of worship, the motivation for voluntary acts of worship is different than the motivation for obligatory.
Obligatory, yeah.
Because obligatory can also be motivated by
fear.
I don't want to go to hellfire.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray dhuhr.
Yeah.
But to pray two rak'ahs before dhuhr or two rak'ahs after dhuhr,
or something
that's motivated. Four. That's motivated by love.
Yeah,
there's no fear there.
Yeah,
and so al-jaza' min jinsi al-amal, as they say, or actions are rewarded accordingly. Well,
it could also not be for love, but could be for that added reward.
The added reward, sure, obviously, but that's also propelled by. I mean, why do you want the added reward?
Because you know somebody can deliver on it. Because you believe Allah to be al-mu'min.
Okay, fair enough.
But then you can also combine it with al-wadud.
I still see that as being propelled by love. Like, why would you want to go higher in Jannah other than...
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? Like, I don't know. Like, as the idea... You've worked in sales, right? People want to increase because, they perform better. They'll status, more money, all of that.
That doesn't exist in Jannah. I mean, if you just...
Well, status exists in Jannah.
Not in the sense of the dunya, in the sense of like...
Like, wouldn't somebody who is in Firdaus al-A'la and closer to the companions, closer to the Prophet, closer to Allah...
That's love.
Yeah, but like that's also status.
That concept of, that person has a better place than me, that's not going to exist in Jannah.
Okay. Yeah. That jealousy is not
That's gonna not going to exist.
Okay, I got you. Cool.
But that is al-wadud. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammadu ala alayhi wa sahbihi sallam, kathira.